I would make a lot of choices differently than Elena did.
Sure. Yeah. You know? She was hungry and panicking.
I'm always hungry and panicking.
Sterline, what? Why?
It's like, Sterline, why? What do you mean?
Well, and so many of their parents are dead now.
So it's oops, all yeah. orphans.
Yep, oops, all orphans. My favorite flavor of Captain Crunch.
The phrase doing a nature spell to clear my head would be the funniest way to refer to smoking a joint.
Yeah. Yes, I'm in, and I'll say again, Hannah's Bachelor of Purdy.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Elle.
And this is
The Vampire Journals.
Season 4, Episode 2.
Season 4?
Yeah.
Whoa. Sorry. I just
did you have a moment?
I thought we were on 3, and I just realized Same. How far we've come. Good for us.
Yeah, good for us.
Four more years.
Four more years. Literally, actually, because there's 8 seasons, so.
Yeah, okay. This was an episode that was based around religion, grief, guns,
blood,
horny teenagers, and a pixie cut.
And also kind of like a little bit of cheating, like.
I would say like
drinking someone else's blood.
Emotional cheating. Yeah. I guess the thing is that it's made clear in this episode that drinking a vampire's blood in vampire culture is a big deal, but we weren't given the equivalent of like what it would be in the context of a human relationship. Yeah, yeah. Like, is it like, oh, you had metaphor sex, or is it like, oh, you had metaphor like a really deep conversation?
I think the way it was framed was it was framed as cheating.
Mm. Right, but I can't tell if Stefan is under or overreacting.
Yes.
It's a foot rub. It's like it's intimate, but like there's a blurry line. It's like you know, it can be taken either way.
Yeah.
Depending on if you're
I'll say
feet.
I'd rather anyone but me give the foot rub. So it's actually fine with me. I wouldn't consider that cheating.
This episode was called Memorial. It's not doing a pun on anything. There's no book title in here.
Yeah, there simply was a memorial.
There was just a memorial.
And there was one a big memorial mass. And a lot of people pretending they knew all the people who were dead and being sad
including
about it.
Including me.
Yeah, it's a small town. They probably all like saw each other at the grocery store.
Okay, but narratively, these are all people who exist like off the screen.
Right.
And suddenly we're just told that they...
Yeah, but then maybe the real memorial is the friends we made along the way. Yeah. AKA at the end when they listed everyone they know that died.
Yeah.
Yep. That was the real memorial.
Yeah, there was like an Oscars clip show of like the Vampire Diaries characters we've lost along the way.
Yeah.
I just realized as well that... Like, everyone except for Matt at that memorial is now in some way like a freak or a monster.
Yeah.
Like, even Jeremy can see ghosts.
Yeah. Everyone's connected to the dead.
Tyler's a werewolf vampire.
Sure is.
Elena is thankfully, finally, a very horny, emotional vampire.
Mm. Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
It was going to happen. It was like, how long could they keep hold that back?
Yeah, she'll have new stuff now. Besides just being like a human that loves to sacrifice herself. Mm-hmm. She'll be a vampire that loves to drink blood and is maybe angsty about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she still won't ever talk to Bonnie or hang out with her, support her in any way.
Yeah.
In our studio, we have our guest expert, Bridget Woodbury.
Hi, I'm Bridget Woodbury and I am a therapist. Mm-hmm. I specialize in sort of like whatever your deal is. Do some queer and trans stuff, do a little bit of grief counseling, love a dead parent. Love like, wow, these people are fucked up. So I'm going to make quite a lot of money.
Yeah. Are you?
So yeah, I was just going to say one of my boundaries is that I'm not comfortable discussing my licensing.
Your license? Oh, I thought you were gonna say your client list, but you mean?
Oh no, I'll talk about my client list all day. License? That's none of your business. Okay. I just set a boundary.
That's really healthy of you. I bet you're probably licensed based on how healthy of a boundary you just set.
That's nice of you to say.
I don't think this is how boundaries work.
I think you're misunderstanding. I'm the therapist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, you're the expert that I can't see the license of.
Yeah, and I'm Shane Ormond, and I'm Bridget's number one client.
Shane's got some Catholic shit going
on. I have all the things that Bridget just said except for the dead parents, so. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knock on wood.
Yeah, that's nice. Knock on wood. How has working with Bridget helped you? Have you seen a lot of progress?
Have I seen progress?
Yeah.
No, it's been nice hanging out with Bridget. Okay. It's always fun. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm a better person.
Okay.
Sometimes the most important part of therapy is guys being dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging, chilling.
Creating a safe space for guys to be dudes is like a really central part.
Halo together.
Yeah. And do you know what guys were real good dudes in this episode?
Matt? Nobody. Well, just Matt, maybe.
Yeah.
Matt really is just a guy being a dude.
Yeah.
Should we go to the start of the episode?
Yeah. The kickoff of this episode, when I think, Elle, you're the one that said this, that like it felt like we were preparing to start a number in a musical theater piece. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the cadence. So Stefan and Damon were having an argument, which obviously they do often, but it would be like Stefan saying like a long line and then Damon saying like, but Stefan, no, right. Or like,
no.
I don't think so. And just like,
no.
It sounded like they were about to go into a patter song, and I got so excited for no reason because of course they weren't. But I wanted to hear a piano go under them so much. And I think it's because my favorite type of musical theater song is one where two characters argue in counterpoint.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stefan has also started doing this thing recently where anytime anything happens to Elena, he's like, I know this is how the universe works and these are the rules of reality. But maybe.
Perhaps I'm God's little exception.
And then Damon's response, what I wrote down is that Damon wants us all to pay student loans because he did.
Yeah, Damon was like, every vampire has to go through drinking blood and killing people. That's just how it works. That's how we did it. That's how she's got to do it. It was very, you know, Damon, pay your dues.
Damon's like being the realist and Stefan is being very hopeful optimist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But Damon's being like a dick about it. Damon's just like, well, actually, you should have the hardest version of this. And Stefan's like, what if we invented an easier way?
Yeah. Which really is reasonable. He's like, what if we just start her out on animals so she never has anything to compare it to? Which I think is at least worth trying.
Sure.
He's innovating.
He's innovating.
He's destabilizing.
Like, disrupting the vampire industry.
I wish that Stefan's take had been, because we just saw someone become a vampire and had to do all the things. Like, if Stefan's argument had been like, okay, she's a doppelganger. Like, we don't know anything about doppelganger. Yeah. Like, let's maybe that transition could be different.
Sure.
That's fine. But his vibe is very much like the power of love says she can eat a bunny.
Yeah. And not even kill the bunny. Like, there's
I'll
a
kill
scene.
The bunny. She can have cold bunny.
Yeah. She'll have, you know, like congealing bunny and love
fun.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a scene where like he tells her to cover her eyes and he kills a deer for her and she drinks it and they get so randomly horny.
Mm-hmm. So horny.
And start making out against a tree. She rips his shirt off. We see his aggressively 2000s bicep tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then she pushes him away and has to vomit all the deer blood out.
But he doesn't see. She keeps it secret from him.
Yeah, no, I think
I think he only knows about the animal puking.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's like a line. It's such a weird, like they're flirting and murdering animals and like also vomiting blood. And she's like, I was a cheerleader. I sucked at track. It's just such a silly.
He was teaching her how to do fast run.
Yeah.
And
his advice was, listen, it's just like a race. You put every ounce of your body weight behind you when you push off. Like that's a practically applicable. Like, the man didn't give her a starting block. Yeah. He was just like, hey, remember when you run fast? Like, you should run fast.
Fast, yeah. Yeah. You know how you move forward quickly?
I don't remember how when you run fast. In general.
Just engage your core.
Oh, my God.
Run in so long.
I love to engage my core. And I know exactly what it means.
Yeah, I don't think you're activated the way you should be in your core.
Yeah.
You need to activate your... Know. She wasn't activating her deer before eating it.
Damon's... The piece of advice I wrote down that he said was, you're a vampire, be a vampire.
Yeah. Which...
That's great. So both brothers giving... Very unhelpful.
Yeah, very surface level. Yeah. More commands than advice.
It's very like, I haven't been in school. Like searching for a job for 50 years, so I'm gonna tell you how to get a job. Like,
just go up to them and say, I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. I want a job.
Think I said this the last time in the very last episode, but the show keeps doing this thing where it's like Damon will say something really insensitive and stupid, And then, like, the rules of the universe will contrive to make Damon right.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's like, he's always right.
Yeah, they're like,
he's
maybe his asshole. Idea was yeah. so crazy, it just might work. Right. And it's like, a lot of things had to be so crazy for yeah. this to fit into right. it, actually. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right.
But he is right. She does need to eat. Because yes. she is
yeah.
she
needs to eat. Just she's like not
exploding it from the inside out. It doesn't
have to be from the vein.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like he's got it in his head, like if you're a new vampire, right. mm-hmm. like yeah. you got to be able to control yourself.
Because yeah. he tries yeah. to give her bagged blood and that makes her puke too.
Yeah. She it does. Doesn't like it. She's like, this
she doesn't
gross.
Like it. He's, yeah. Yeah, yeah, she's like, it tastes like hot garbage or something.
And
Stefan
yeah, she is can't just keep like it down. Feeding whiskey into her.
Yeah, she's like, this is our one other coping mechanism. It's drinking whiskey.
Yeah, right.
How are you different from a human? Yeah. I don't understand.
But like he's got it stuck in his head that like new vampires, you know, you go into that bloodlust, so yeah. the first human you bite into, you're not going to control yourself, you're going to kill someone. She's going to be so full
this
of guilt.
Mm.
Well, like I mean Damon Caroline... thinks this too, so she, like he's thinking,
but Stefan's the one that's like drink. We have to avoid the human yes. drinking because yeah. it's going to cause yeah. the bloodlust.
Stefan yeah. wants to avoid it, whereas Damon wants to rip the Band-Aid off.
He's like, let's power through yeah. it. And Stefan's like, if she kills someone, she's not going to be able to handle it. She's right. going to feel so bad that she turns off her emotion right. switch. And then, you know, we won't be dating, I guess, is right. the logical
and it won't
conclusion.
Be hot.
Yeah.
Did Caroline kill someone the first time she fed?
Not the first time, but she did kill someone behind a dumpster at the carnival.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, I think she
it was
she
like
has
the
killed
old,
people.
Yeah. The janitor or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just also quickly...
She's fine with it. She's doing great.
She's yeah. had time to cope yeah. and move on.
Yeah, it's been a month or two.
I think
yeah,
Caroline's but... a little better at being like, this was outside of yeah. my control.
Yeah.
Compartmentalization yeah. queen.
Whereas like yeah. Elena's got some severe main character syndrome where she's
oh,
like,
yeah.
everything is my fault and I need to mm-hmm. constantly
yeah.
be like
right. yeah.
angsting about it. Yeah. Which, where Caroline has resilience.
Sort of hilarious in an embarrassing way for me to be like, wow, the main character of this show has tremendous main character syndrome.
It feels like Elena's stability can just snap like a twig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. You know?
She's
yeah.
a fragile lady.
Yeah.
But which, so special that so she must be protected.
Yeah. She's fragile like a bomb.
Damn. Damn. So yeah, that's how the episode opens, right? Mm-hmm. Stefan's trying to teach her how to hunt deer. Stefan and Damon argue about drinking human blood.
Mm-hmm. Could I also say that her vomiting the blood, vomiting. also kind of begins sort of like a through line in the episode of like, it kind of being a period metaphor a little.
Yeah.
Like they want to
yeah.
have sex, but suddenly some blood gets in the way.
Yeah.
And she's feeling really emotional and having a bunch of weird cravings. And at a certain point, she's got to spend a bunch of awkward time yeah.
in like
a church
bathroom.
In a church bathroom because she got blood all over her clothes.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I think you're feeling a little emotional right now.
Right.
So is the... building on that metaphor, mm-hmm. then, is her becoming a vampire, her changing into adulthood?
I think a little bit that. And I think it's a little bit also... like you get sort of Stefan and Damon juxtaposed against one another, where Damon's like, babe, I'll go buy you like a big thing of chocolate ice cream from the store. And Stefan's like, listen, it's fine. Just like take an iron pill.
Right.
You know,
hey,
like
listen,
one of them.
Everyone gets their period.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's like whatever. You're being emotional. So just yeah. let me decide what you do right now. Your optimum health will be this.
He
like,
does
one
literally
of
like say at one point in the show, like
yeah.
you're being hyper emotional right now.
Literally.
And it's like.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, and you haven't, Stefan? And you haven't? When
yeah.
you were ripping?
The ripper, yeah.
He's got the plot armor of, like, when you're a vampire, your emotions are heightened.
Right.
So he,
sure.
he thinks he
yeah.
can get away with, like,
what?
Your emotions what? Are really
what?
Heightened
you're
right
a vampire.
Now.
It's
that's
just,
all
like,
I meant.
True, isn't it?
Ben,
yeah, it's just
ben.
How you naturally are. I'm just saying.
I do think, though, to your point, Morgan, it's not a coincidence that they have her turning right when she's 18.
Mm.
Yeah. It, like, I think it is a bit of a metaphor for, like, you're leaving high school, you're becoming an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, like, the ruin of innocence.
Sure.
Right? Like, you're no longer a kid.
Yeah. And people will no longer, like, or you won't be able to live your life in a way anymore where everybody else is, like, taking the hits for you.
Yeah.
yeah
or right. doing the messy stuff for you.
When you make that one big mistake, it's going to be yours and you're going to have to own it forever.
Yeah.
Both Damon and Stefan are trying to protect her
yeah.
from that outside world where it's like, oh, she's eventually going to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Caroline doesn't do that. Caroline
yeah.
thrusts responsibility
right.
at her.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and it's like we just got to work through it the first time.
I just hate men, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
I literally, my next note is boy makes Helena vomit, same. So.
Yeah, you did say when we were watching it, you're like, yeah, men make me vomit.
Me
too.
Also when I make out with a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though, by the way, it's such a simple effect, but the blood was great in this episode.
It was.
I love seeing buckets
it
of blood.
It also, like, same. Really, it. We were just watching What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show.
Yeah.
And the vomit is like really similar to the effect when they eat food, and it's just an instant projectile. Like, she is doing a stream of blood puke. It's not like just dribbling
a dainty
out.
Little. Yeah. There's momentum. Style.
Yeah.
She also pukes all over a white church bathroom, and she's like rubbing sink and the mirror and the toilet, and they show her just like wiping a tiny bit up with the tissue. That would have took hours.
Yeah.
You would have been in there for hours.
You just gotta yank the toilet paper so that it all unravels and just like smear it everywhere. Yeah.
You gotta get under and find the rolls of paper towels for daycare.
Yeah.
And there's a vampire hunter like knocking on the door, and she's like in a Farrelly Brothers movie being like, 1 minute!
Yeah.
She also wipes her face off last.
Yes.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
But also, like, okay, Damon's bringing you clothes. Take your dress off. It's already covered in blood. Use the cloth to wipe up the blood.
Oh, yeah.
Clever. I would make a lot of choices differently than Helena did.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Same.
She was hungry and panicking.
I'm always hungry and panicking.
So we mentioned the new guy.
Yeah.
On scene.
My God.
Connor. Jordan.
Yeah, he shows up at the scene of the explosion from last episode where that
with his fingerless gloves.
And he's just like digging
sick,
through
cool
our
gloves.
Little independent contractor.
Yeah. At first I thought he was an FBI guy because he was investigating a crime scene with a flashlight, but he was not. He describes himself as an independent contractor.
A private contractor.
Yeah.
He's specifically investigating the burnt house where the pastor immolated everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And he opens the oven. Like, he sees, you know, that this was an intentional, he said, explosion. And the oven has a letter in it addressed to Amy.
April. Amy.
Sorry, I've gone girl on the brain.
Just sort of always.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. Do you want to talk about what the letter says, or want to like wait?
Let's save that.
Yeah, because it's a little bit of a reveal slash like foreshadowing.
I don't know. I think I was on my phone when he gave the letter, so I do need to know.
Very fair.
So there, we see him like investigate, and then we see Damon is sitting in Applebee's.
Yep. Just drinking, has a bottle of liquor next to him
and
at the Applebee's.
On like three different occasions in this episode, someone tries to sit down next to Damon, and he's like, this seat's taken, because he thinks the joke is so good he has to use it every time.
Yeah. And the last time it happens, it's Helena.
And so Helena's like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's no one sitting here.
And then she doesn't sit there, and she goes and sits in the other seat.
What if he's saving the seat for Alaric?
God. That's what it is.
Because that's what she says. And what he responds, what Damon says to, like, what do you mean the seat's taken? He's like, well, it'd be really sad if I was sitting here alone.
Oh my God. Wow.
And it's Alaric's. Oh, I just put that together.
Yeah. And we know Alaric is kind of just creeping about being a ghost, not talking to anyone. So he might have been sitting
there. The first person that comes up is the sheriff. And Damon is mad at his remaining living BFF.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sheriff is mad at Damon because she assumes she sees 12 people dead, and she's like, this is you, isn't it?
Up to your old tricks.
Although, I mean, Damon had a point. He's like, I'd throw a party if I wanted to kill people.
Yeah, I'd throw a dinner party.
I wouldn't blow them up.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't my signature.
It's not his MO.
Yeah, of course not.
It's not my style.
And just like as a note, like a future note to myself, if I ever write Vampire Diaries fan fiction, I think that like a very funny concept to me is Damon hosting a murder mystery dinner party, but he's killing all of the guests for real as the night progresses.
And then at the end, everyone's like, wow, what was that like ketchup effect? And he's like, what?
And then there's like the Looney Tunes fade away.
This is Hannah's bachelorette party.
What if you think he's killing them one by one because they keep disappearing from the party, and they're like, where's that person gone? And then when the last person, he finally gets the last person, and he chases them into like the room at the back of the house, and it turns
and
out
it's a surprise birthday party.
No, they're all in there fucking. And he's been like, he's been kind of cajoling them into having an orgy one by one,
convincing everyone one at a time.
Yeah.
Hannah's bachelorette party.
What were you saying? So Helena, the sheriff thinks it's Damon. He's like, no, it wasn't me. She was like, those were my friends, Damon. He said, they tried to kill your child. She said, I grew up with them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what, like a very mom thing.
It's a very mom thing. It's a God.
That's actually so real.
It just made me. I was like, I'm having.
Like, yes, he's a murder monster.
Okay, so they're like Zionists.
Yeah. But we are in junior league together.
But you guys, you went to preschool with her daughter.
Yeah, she made your costume for Wizard of Oz in third grade.
Yeah, she loves Israel, but she also loves you.
He's actively lobbying for your death.
Right.
But okay, she gave me her casserole episode people, 3 years ago.
But
yeah.
But she's doing a great job pretending you're not gay.
Yeah. She barely acknowledges it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she donates all of last season's clothing to consignment stores.
For where you love to shop.
Where you like to shop.
To go.
So think about it.
Yeah, that's the sheriff's vibe for sure.
She meets Connor Jordan at this point. So they're kind of updating she's her.
She's like, are you an insurance adjuster or something?
And then he goes to the mayor's house. So he's like introducing himself to all like the big people in town, trying to like form a picture of what happened.
So before that happens, we are introduced to this mysterious April who rolls in at school. I just feel like him at the mayor's house is a big reveal.
Okay.
So I want to hold it for a second.
Yeah, do April first.
So April rolls in. He looks like every guy that we see every girl that we see Jeremy develop any sort of interest in. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Sort of dark haired, like moody.
Yeah. Mm.
She talks. Do you want to describe how she describes herself?
She says, he's like, do I know you? And she's like, picture me with a pixie cut and a lot of eyeliner, an emo pixie cut and a ton of eyeliner. And he goes, April Young.
That's representative of like a thing that the Vampire Diaries constantly does where it's like, it will reference aesthetics which people can be like or it'll reference things that people can be like but it will never like engage with them directly. Bitch, just give me a little pixie bob emo
like you girl. No, exactly, like, they make everyone super conventionally attractive.
Everybody is like Abercrombie,
right, super conventionally attractive, but then they reference like, oh, I used to be like this, to classify them into their clique
as like slightly quirkier in some way.
I wonder what the show would have been like if it wasn't on the WB and not from 2008.
Yeah, great question. Yeah. Reboot.
There was a little there was a shot where it showed like her nails and they were painted black, which was like the only alternative thing about
Shane,
her.
Shane,
what,
your nails are painted black right
no,
now?
No, I know, and I think Elle goes like, oh, she's so quirky and alternative, and I looked down at my nails and I was like, oh. I am quirky and alternative.
She also
you also know you're a little pixie
you're
cut.
In your Shane, you're in your mid-30s. It's not quirky.
Stop.
You're a little manic pixie dream
it's
guy.
It's hot. Oh. Shane's not going through a phase.
That's not true. A phase, Elle. Jeremy's like, I'm sorry about your dad. Like, the tone is very weird.
Yeah.
And she is like, ah, yes. And what she says is, he of the faulty gas line.
Yeah.
He exploded 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
And she is his child.
And she says something like, I'm just, like, not good at this whole grief thing. Like, it was wild.
Yeah.
She does open up later at the church before the mass where she finally actually breaks down. She's crying a little. And she mentions that she and her dad didn't have a great relationship, but she doesn't know what to say. And she's having a moment of crisis,
and she doesn't have a mom, right?
No,
not one that
someone
no.
says
mentioned.
She's an orphan. But they do a thing where it's like, so she has that moment where she's like, I don't really do the grieving thing, and then later she has like a full-on breakdown. And like, that could just be like an arc where like she's like coming to terms with it, but
I feel like it's also a teenager thing.
And that's fine, but I don't know, the fact that she had that first moment with Jeremy and she's like, oh, you know, it's whatever, and then it was only when it was Elena was there that she was only able to like emotionally confide in her.
She wanted to look cool in front of her old high school friends.
Also, like, Elena was her babysitter, so like, if she's orphaned, that's like the closest thing you have to like a parental
figure
looking up to her, kind of in a mentor role.
And Elena, like, I mean, so does Jeremy, but like, Elena's parents are dead too, but Elena's a little older than her and someone who has like cared for her before.
And also Elena has like just 200 years of trauma packed into the last 4 years.
She's got mom energy.
Elena has mom energy.
Yeah.
I think Elena should have mom energy based on the things I just said.
Yeah.
I don't think Elena has mom energy.
I think when you put her and April together, she has mom energy.
I think Elena has like Matt's mom energy.
Yeah, I think that Elena has mom who is trying her best and not succeeding energy.
Like, I'm your mom, listen to me, but also I have to go drink some me vintage whiskey with my vampire boyfriend.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Me vintage.
There is a moment, and it's a moment where Stefan is kind of trying to applaud Elena, trying to keep down animal blood, encouraging her and to do this. He pours out a bottle of champagne and says, "This is from the year you were born," which would not hit for me.
Yeah. No. Because it's meant to be like, oh, so kind of quirky. Cute. And we're vampires.
Yeah. Like a little romantic.
It would be quirky if they were both 200-year-old
vampires. Well, because at some point you're going to get too old and you're not going to have wine as old as you.
Right.
You
know? But it's going to suck. It's just like hangs a big flashing sign on the fact that I was alive and collecting
wine.
Booze when you were born.
Right. Yes. In this scene, this is actually the next like scene I have notes about. And in this same scene, he also refers to her as alive-ish.
Yeah.
He's not nailing it. I would say.
Drinking wine, the vintage that someone is born, would actually be really great writing if they were trying to portray him as like kind of a callous sugar daddy character.
Like lecherous. Yeah,
like literally, oh, I want to consume you. Yeah. I think that your vintage is something appealing to me, and I see you as a thing to be consumed.
Would
be
fucking
like,
rules. I love that.
It would rule. Yeah. That's not what they were going for.
No.
Do you think they're kind of nerfing Stefan a little bit to like make the prospect of Damien, Elena a little bit more
I think we're
this
still
is a
pushing towards a boyfriend swap.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I will die on this hill.
I agree with you.
I will die on the boyfriend swap hill. I really think that's where we're headed.
I don't think boyfriend swap is like end game, but I think they're going to do it.
End game. We're in the boyfriend swap now.
I actually think we're in season 4. I actually think that she might end up with Damon.
Really?
Yeah. If this had happened 2 seasons, like just thinking narratively, right?
Sure,
if in season 2 she had switched, then I think there's like, okay, we have to keep room for some romantic tension so they can switch back.
Yeah.
But I think it's taking long enough that like they can keep stretching it out so that then when it finally happens, everyone's like, oh my God, finally.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess then the question is like, who would Stefan end up with? Because in a love triangle,
I still think...
Caroline. Like you think boyfriend swap
and still think boyfriend swap.
Interesting.
I think...
can't explain to you my like deep this is for me like remember when I was like why does this stone look like soap?
I didn't stop
talking about it and then
you
was had, vindicated like that's
you had
I'm gonna be
the
very
frequency.
Embarrassed in 4 years maybe but like I really think
that's you're gonna 4 years away.
Yeah. I'm really embarrassed or so vindicated. Yeah. Either that or you have won the podcast.
Or I'm going to throw myself a fucking party.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's like Morgan has shown me this clip of someone interviewing the Stefan actor. What's his name?
Paul Wesley.
And basically says, what's the name for Stefan and Wesley?
Stefan and Caroline.
But what's...
And then Caroline
sounds like
Klaus and Caroline.
So it sounds like a pill you take to sterilize yourself.
Yeah.
The question was because fans are either Camp
Claroline,
Klaus and
who the fuck is Camp Claroline? That is an insane camp.
A lot of people, you'd be surprised.
Okay, the man drew her with a horse.
But like, a horse girl would probably love that, you know? But a horse girl would be like, he gets her.
Had zero contact up to that point, and he was like, hey, I drew you with a horse.
But he is like, the thing is, and I'm gonna sound like an alien. But a thing that I've come to understand about some straight women is that they love it when a guy is just like, you're in love with me. In romantic fiction, just like that archetype of like a really pushy guy who's like, I have decided that we're gonna be together is genuinely very
popular. And I will
popular
say on Love
in,
Island also.
Yeah.
That's whenever a guy is like, no, we're like in love. The girl's like, oh my God, we are in love.
And I go off, I guess.
So yeah, if you like again, I can't relate,
it's not my culture.
It doesn't, I can kind of understand it because like if someone loves you and without diving into like problematic, I own you and we meant to be together. But if someone who you haven't like romantically considered before, like loves you, this person sees something in you that other people don't and they're like, they're like, oh my God, I'm just
like, it has to be you.
Oh, and that's interesting. Yeah. Like, that's something that you might want to engage with and see where that
I'm
goes.
Totally susceptible to that from not a man. Yeah. But with a man, there's an undertone of threat.
Yeah.
Like, but if a woman or a non-binary person, like, or even like a trans man, just anyone but a cis man came at me with that energy, I'd be like, wow, this person sees me in a way no one else does. Yeah. But when a man does it, I'm like, oh, this person wants to assault me.
Yeah. But it's like the gay bias of it all.
Perhaps. Interesting thought. They didn't teach me about that in the therapy class I did online.
The two big ship camps of the fans. They say that you're either Claroline or pro-Steriline. And so I think there, I mean, there's a lot of people in your camp, Bridget. They see what you see.
I just feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't actually think I want that. I think Caroline deserves better.
Yeah.
But it just feels, they're not going to leave Stefan not with one of the main women, and they're never going to put him with Bonnie.
Yeah. Neither Stefan or Damon, if they ended up with a character that hasn't already been introduced, I would be shocked.
Yes.
Like that would exactly. That's a good point.
But there's this like this live kind of questioning, and they ask Paul Wesley, Claroline or Steriline, and he makes this noise that has it's become like one of the canon noises of my life. Like sometimes when I'm just around the house, I'll just say it to myself.
Okay.
And he goes, Steriline, what? Why?
Hey, Steriline, why? What do you mean?
What do you mean, Steriline?
Of course. And it's like the gall of this interview asking like if he's more Claroline or Steriline. And he's like, I'm Stefan.
I'm in one.
Hit some sort of musical notes and tone that just like hit my brain. And I'm like, that's
Steriline.
Incredible. It is so beautiful when like a 2 second sound bite just embeds itself.
This
forever.
Was like mozzarella.
I think this is when we were watching season one or before we started the podcast, and like you got it hooked in your brain. You didn't even know what it was about.
Do you think that you've been like Pavloved into rooting for Steriline now on some level?
No, I like Damon. Okay. I don't really have any.
You want
interest.
Damon to end up with everybody.
I don't really have interest in Stefan ending up with anyone. I don't have Elena interest in ending up with anyone.
Yeah, I just want to see my boy Damon. Should end up alone for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to figure
shit out. Work to do.
Official therapist decree.
I am team, and there's no way it's going to happen. Mm. But Caroline and Tyler. That is the only functioning relationship.
Yep. But they're too happy.
They're too happy.
I'm rooting
for
those
crazy
kids.
Adjusted, like being monsters. They're like just.
They're too like communicative. It's just
loving each other, having incredible sex.
Yeah, no way the show's gonna let
it
keep
on. They did have a moment in this episode where they're about to have sex, and Caroline puts the brakes on because she's like, "People are dead, and we're having sex."
Yeah.
And he's like.
My next like two notes are about Caroline because we see Elena call Caroline and leave a voicemail. At which point we were all like, "Fucking finally, call a lady. Mm-hmm. You need a girl to help you."
Absolutely.
And then like also they're about to bone. She's also wearing like not to be an absolute homosexual, but she's wearing the cutest like. She looks so hot in this bra and underwear.
Yeah, like a little like airy bra set. It's cute.
She looks great, but she's like, okay, but they're like my mom's friends. So funny on the back of what we were just talking about where her mom is like they were I think the example you gave was like they were her Girl Scout troop.
The thing is like so Caroline this isn't like beyond Caroline
they tried to
character.
Swap Caroline as well
this isn't really beyond her character like she would be the kind of person where something would be in the back of her head so much it would prevent her from like being intimate but I think it was just a bit heavy-handed on the writer's part at this moment.
Totally.
I think it was a little... I think she would have sex at this point.
Well, yeah. I also think it's in her character to cope in that way. Given the way her transformation happened.
Yeah. Mm.
And to have that, like, here's what we should be doing socially to be appropriate.
This is also the point at which we started asking if this was the horniest ep. There's two questions that I think will come up a few times for us, which are, is this the episode that's the most, like, blatantly, visibly... horny and then is this the most violent in terms of like contemporary weaponry versus like a bow
because the guy who shows up the private contractor he uses a gun to fight with which like I think there have been guns before but most of the violence is like stakes knives
or like I made a gun but I made it with a rubber band
yeah
like it's
cartoon
not, like,
violence or fantasy violence as opposed to like real world. And like, yeah, there's one image like later on in the episode where he's like setting up an automatic rifle in the back of a, in like the top pew of a church and like pointing it at people's heads like in the crowd. Yeah.
Which
that
honestly,
was a little too real.
No, I was going to say that like kind of a little bit of a trigger for me, yeah, given the like, the way that
different
gun
time.
Violence is. Yeah,
different
right.
Time.
Yeah.
I think but not was, that different.
Yeah.
Like this was post Columbine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was 2011.
Right.
I think season 4 was.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but like around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, network still, TV still will try to do mass shooting every now and again, and it's literally never.
Yeah, I think it was still long enough ago. I don't think we were as desensitized.
Yeah.
I think it was less. Like right now, we have like a lot of violence around, like around religion. That's religion, like synagogues and mosques and churches and stuff, like black churches and stuff, in a different way. But I just still watching it, I was like, oh
yeah, yeah.
Although I did like the setup and how he's trying to hunt them down.
Totally. Yes, that like, was good.
I
that was
it's intense.
Interesting.
Yeah. Should we do the we have her drinking Damon's blood. Mm-hmm. We have her in the bathroom, and then it's the mask.
I think we can do the Connor Hunter guy because he attacks Tyler first, and I think
let's talk about that.
Hunting at the mask.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
When we talked about Caroline in her undies about to have sex with Tyler, this is actually the moment where Connor, the independent contractor slash hunter, comes to the mayor's house, forces him his way inside.
Right.
Which
I thought was a way of him being like, I'm not a vampire. You know, like I thought it was an indication of that.
Yeah.
But he's also like shaking everybody's
hands. Does really aggressive handshakes. And Elle was like, there's got to be some, which actually you were vindicated because you were like, there's got to be some tattoo or something under there.
He's got
like
a significant tattoo, or why else would they have put a fingerless glove on this adult
on someone,
man?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
But the glove, I think, was the Vervain glove.
Right. Yeah.
We learned.
Vervain glove.
Because Tyler shakes his hand.
Yeah.
And it's Tyler comes down to be like very butch and be like, do you, what could I help you?
Yeah.
You,
no one harasses my mom.
Yeah. And they shake hands and he immediately screams. And then the guy just pumps him full of wood.
And he pulls,
wood bullets.
Yeah.
Like, I think what was so visceral about it was like, this looks like when a gun is really used in real life. Like he quick
like
draws with
gun.
Like a real quick draw, and he holds it like right, and he shot like Tyler, you know, in a tight pattern at around his chest, and it just happens instantly. Like
there's no warning. Like, it's definitely like trained killer,
just like brutal fast violence.
Yeah.
And we like cut to the house. And they're pulling out the bullets from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have like, I thought they
carvings
looked like
on them.
I thought they looked like runes.
Yeah,
vaguely
like
Empire Norse runes. They're made out of wood. And
Stefan takes them to Bonnie and she says they're not magical etchings.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So but before, when they're pulling them out of his body, they're like, okay, these were carved in a really specific shape to pierce the right amount. Like he's talking about the.
Yeah.
The.
This is really interesting, actually, when you compare it to like the scene later where Damon comes into the church and he dips his finger in the holy water font and he blesses himself and he kind of smiles, as in like, it's so funny the way they have these kind of superstitions about vampires. And then there's like some other, you know, religion or culture that like we don't really associate with vampires.
Yeah.
That does have
that
those exact
right.
effects that we think of when we think of vampires.
Right. Right. Yeah. And
it's just Catholics ain't it.
Right.
Well, Catholics ain't it.
In a number of ways. And the bullets are also dipped in vervain, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and basically they were like, if he had shot anybody but Tyler, because he's a hybrid, any other vampire would be dead.
Yeah.
And so then we get to Churchtown.
We get to Churchtown. Before the mass, we have the upset where after Elena talks to April and kind of consoles her, she's starving. She gets the bloodlust, kind of caressing April's little wrist.
Yeah.
So she excuses herself to the bathroom and pukes blood everywhere.
Yeah. Before that, Damon gives her some of his blood.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's like, okay, you're obviously
I think
like
it's the bathroom of the bar.
I thought it was by the tree outside the church. I thought it was
It was outside. Yeah.
He gives her a blood bag.
A blood bag
by
the tree.
The blood bag.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then he feeds her from the wrist in the bathroom of
at the bar. Right. And he's like, don't tell Stefan.
Yeah.
This is
and the
too
way
hot.
It's framed, they do the kiss painting framing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like the way that they're kind of like curled up into each other, it's clear that he's getting something.
Yeah,
out
it's
of it.
So horny. Yeah. And she's moaning like it's sex. Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah.
Classic. This is a very charged transfer. Episode.
So she yeah. throws yeah. that up as well. He gives her a blood bag, and she's like, "This does not taste good."
Yeah.
And then goes to the, you know, yeah. is, then Those we hit what Morgan up, just yeah. described, where she's in the bathroom, like projectile vomiting blood all over her clothes yeah. and the yeah. mirror.
Yeah, the Damon blood did also not work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the blood bag didn't work.
Yeah. Right.
I think the only time she didn't throw up was drinking.
Oh, okay. I thought blood. She did.
I thought, yeah, she? I thought that like one of the conclusions of this episode was, oh no, no blood is working for her.
Yes. Yeah,
maybe she because she's partially Damon had, a doppelganger.
Yeah,
because
later they're like, oh, maybe her doppelganger blood is rejecting everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Stefan is like, okay, well, if you told me you'd exhausted every option.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, even drinking from Damon didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
I couldn't right. help thinking of during the episode mm-hmm. was like when we got Ponyo.
okay. Our dog.
Every dog food that we gave her mate gave her like really, really bad diarrhea.
Oh my God.
And there was a point where we were so worried that there was like no food that we yeah. could give her that
She's allergic
she wouldn't
to
be
everything.
Sick. And so mm-hmm. she would be always sick. And then it was just like a huge relief when we finally yeah. let her drink from the human food.
Ugh. One of the lines in the church, too. Sorry, I'm just going
also,
through my
notes. Also, I know that if Ponyo could only drink your blood, that would not even be a question.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be the healing. Mm. When she and April are having this conversation, this, like, bloodlusty conversation, she's like, wow, the last time we saw each other was at my parents' funeral.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is setting up for the, like, you have to be the mentor. Like, you have yeah. to be mm-hmm. the one to thrall her. You have to be the one to, like, take this role.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the question about the doppelganger blood being why she's rejecting. Mm-hmm. She's like trying to do the messiest cleanup job. The guy.
She's doing such a bad job. She's nervous and hungry. Yeah. I get it.
She's starving. The guy is knocking on the door and she's like, there's someone in
Just
here.
Just a minute.
Yeah. She calls Damon and is like, where the fuck are you? Yeah. He arrives with new clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's an wearing actual a black pink dress this whole time. Yeah. He brings her a black one. Mm. Maybe it was her body being like, you're not dressed appropriately.
Yeah. Her body like to a funeral?
Yeah, right.
Oh, and then the guy tries to introduce himself to Damon. And he like puts his hand out to shake and Damon goes, Damon, germaphobe, and walks away.
I love that. Yeah.
Trying to maintain like plausible deniability about being a vampire while being a man named Damon Salvatore who looks and talks like that.
And also like the decades of Damon's paranoia just like kind of culminating here and it's like you're correct you know like he's just like so on it how you like protect self-preservation I don't know. It's very interesting
and so we did cut to Stefan is with Bonnie and she explains that the runes are not witch runes and she also is talking about like she's very sad when he knocks on the door, doesn't want to open the door, and he's like, I need your help. She lets him in and she's like, I can't do magic anymore because I did bad magic, even though Elena told me not to. Mm-hmm. Even though Grant, like whoever told me not to, someone appeared to her, right?
Graham. Yeah. Did bad magic and it ate my grandma.
Yeah. Right. And they kind of walked back like in the Graham's episode, it was like the witches like Graham's is being like tortured in the afterlife now. Yeah. She's experiencing some pain and Stefan brings up maybe to comfort her. Or maybe to walk back how dark that is. They might have just been messing with you.
Right.
Grams might be fine.
But the line she says is, listen, I even tried to do a nature spell to clear my head.
To clear my head.
Which I thought was just such a like fascinating.
What the fuck is a nature spell?
So the opposite of evil is like the thing where they floated feathers in the beginning in the first season.
Yeah. Can I also just say the phrase doing a nature spell to clear my head would be the funniest way to refer to smoking a joint.
Yes, I'm in. And I'll say again, Hannah's bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Damon makes a joke about having blood bags in his backpack because mass always makes him hungry because of the whole blood of Christ thing, which tickled me as a
lapsed
raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lapsed Catholic.
Yeah. Same.
As a lesbian.
Yeah.
Damon like is in they're in the mass starts.
Yeah.
It was poorly written. It was not written as a mass.
No, not at all. we had a whole like religious terminology thing because they said mass, which means Catholic, but then they also said pastor, which means not Catholic.
Right. Yeah. And they had that like really ornate basin for the holy water, but then like the church looked like a chapel, like it didn't have stained glass. Yeah. And
it wasn't opulent.
Sort of, yeah. It was a melange of generic religious.
Yeah. Just vaguely Christian.
Yeah.
Catholics like their golden kind of.
They love an ornate plating
over, you know.
So
they like their marble.
They're like all in a pew. Elena is like not well. I think that Matt legit is like, wow, you're looking like gone or something. It's like
yeah, everyone's like Elena looks terrible.
Yeah. And then they call April up to talk about her dead dad.
She doesn't appear.
Yeah.
Because
a trap has been laid where the guy who came to town has grabbed April, stabbed her so that she's bleeding out, like in a hidden alcove of the church.
It's the choir loft.
Yeah. Choir loft, thank you. I don't know what those terms are.
Ex-Catholic. Had a bad time.
I just didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
His thing is he's waiting with like an automatic sniper rifle to shoot anyone who turns around because they smell the blood. Yeah. Which is genius.
Like, there's like holes drilled so the blood is dripping like
through the ceiling
into the baptismal font.
Yeah.
Like very dramatic.
Very.
He has April just like bleeding out into this baptismal font.
Mm-hmm. Elena goes up to the podium in her stead.
Yeah.
And she's trying to make a speech, but she's faltering. She smells the blood. She's sweating.
And that's when Damon comes in.
Yeah.
Damon comes in and is like gets into the pew next to Stefan, and they're like, well, it's not looking good up there. Mm-hmm. And Damon said she couldn't even keep my blood down. Mm. And Stefan says she drank from you.
Yeah, he gets immediately pissed.
And then he goes to get her and walk her off.
And they frame it as like the view from the choir.
You can see the backs of everyone's head.
You see the backs of everyone's head, but also it looks like Stefan is like consoling her. Right. Like she's really upset.
And there's a bunch of shots through the scope of the rifle, which is part of what I was saying. Like we all were like, this feels very violent, like very contemporary violence in a new way.
Yeah. But again, it's just like different context.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But
vampires.
I do like the idea of the framing, the way they framed what they actually look like to the hunter versus what was going on down below.
I definitely that's good.
I really like that. It was clear though the script had like a much bigger church in mind
because
they're like 20 feet away from this dude and he's got a gun that's like 5 feet long.
Yeah.
So you can touch the back of their heads with the gun.
Yeah. And Damon is the one, like Damon immediately hisses to everyone. Someone's like, I think Caroline was like, do you smell that? And Damon is like, nobody turn around. It's a trap. He's going to clocks it.
I really like that because it was kind of like the elder vampire kind of looking out for the new generation.
Yeah. The idea that this has been pulled on him before.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm. But it was kind of like they're a squad now. Like they're all weird. They're a family.
Right.
And,
I love found family.
Well, and so many of their parents are dead now.
So
they only got each other.
All orphans.
Yep. Oops, all orphans. My favorite flavor of Captain Crunch.
Barely.
Yeah, they don't really talk a lot.
Matt's mom is still alive, right?
But she's not really
in
the picture.
She's like gone, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say that they're involved parents.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say the sheriff is more involved than...
But not a trustworthy... I don't think she's, like, a reliable fixture.
No. She's got a job.
Well, and she's just, like, a little dumb. Like, she knows about the supernatural and still keeps fucking things up at every turn. Like, that's not someone I would turn to for...
You know that
Bianca... She's good at cover-ups. As a metaphor for the police, she's not someone I would turn to for...
She's good at vampire cover-ups.
Yeah.
You know, her daughter, she's like, I got this, honey.
Yeah.
This is the one thing I'm good at.
Yeah. All right. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Elena's jonesing in the middle of mass and she's actually losing it. When she gets that like smell of blood, she's like in Stefan's arms and she's like shaking.
And someone is like, it's a trap. And she's like, well, I'll be the one he catches then. Like I have to go. Mm-hmm. And then Matt is like, just drink from me.
Yeah. And earlier in the episode, he had said, like, I really feel like I need to repay Elena in some way
for having me saved first.
Yeah. Right. So he's like, drink my blood. And they kind of like make it look that from the back, she's like kind of tucked her head into his chest.
There is no way that looked believable.
Matt said that too. Like, I appreciated it. I feel like they're trying to make Matt a little bit more of like in the group again,
which I like.
He's like, okay, from behind, it'll look like I'm consoling you. Like, slowly pivot from Stefan to me.
Yeah.
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 And but we were in the room, we were like, okay, so no one's worried about what this looks like from the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's worried that the rest of the congregation is gonna be like, does she have fangs?
Yeah, what's so great is that there is a choir singing a song who can see them.
See her. Yeah. Yeah.
This also was a moment that I think Stefan feared, because it was a moment of, can she control herself?
Right.
The first time she's actually drinking from a person.
And she's
Matt.
Surrounded by everyone.
Which Matt was her first boyfriend.
Yeah. Right? Oh. True.
She's suppeth from the cuppeth of Matt.
I like the little moments they have. Like, same. They still have that childhood bond.
Yeah. I very much like just think Matt's neat.
Yeah. And also, like, throughout this episode, they'd be like, oh, remember me and Matt used to babysit you together. Like, they're able to still reflect on those moments positively.
Yeah. And she does control herself. She drinks a little bit. She's like, that's enough. Yeah. And she
and then Tyler is like, I can help here, because he's been shot by this guy before and didn't die.
Because he knows the guy will recognize him. So he's like, we're going to weed this guy out.
Right.
So he's going to shoot me.
So he goes up to be like, well, first they start singing.
Wow, wait. Tyler sacrifices himself in a Catholic church.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Wait, so Tyler is part one thing and part another thing and sacrifices himself? Oh my God. He's sort of like a combination of two things that have never been combined before. Yeah. He sacrifices himself to save everyone.
We're having a revelation over here.
Revelation. So he goes up, he like interrupts the song and is like, I have something to say about Pastor Young. And goes up, and but the speech he gives was actually, I thought, perfect for this moment narratively, because he's like, pastors, you taught me how to be a team player.
Oh, and he's like taking, he's literally taking one for the team.
A literal bullet for the team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the guy recognizes him, shoots him, everyone freaks out, which gives them like a way to get away.
Yeah, triangulate and escape.
And the mayor was actually really smart in this moment. She's like, I'm gonna call an ambulance, and he's like, I'm fine. She's like, everyone saw you get shot.
Yeah, I'm gonna call an ambulance. Right. And so Elena gets up to the choir loft, finds April, and is again very horny for blood.
Yeah, and the guy has escaped at this point.
Yes. And she, there's blood everywhere. Her, we have the like head thumping sound effect.
Yeah.
And at the last moment, Caroline jumps in.
Yeah.
To be like,
nah, Elena actually like lunges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Caroline stops
fangs
her.
Fangs bared.
Yeah. And she's like, if you feed from her right now, you will kill her, because like she's already bled out a bunch.
Yeah.
And she's like, Elena, you need to memory erase her.
To thrall her
and then like get her out of here.
Yeah.
And you need to, you know, do it. You need to be the one to handle your own stuff.
Right. Like, and Elena's like, you do it. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
And Caroline is the first person to be like, okay, you have to own that this is.
Yeah.
You're growing up now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got responsibilities.
Yeah.
Aww, themes.
Themes.
Yeah. And then the next scene that I have notes about, she's talking to, Elena's talking to Damon. And Damon says,
we almost, we do get a moment with Connor and Damon.
Yeah, at the bar.
That's right. Yeah.
He rips the door off of the,
off his truck.
His truck as he's driving away.
Yeah.
And Connor gets the better of him. He puts a bunch of bullets in him, which he didn't die either.
Well, we were speculating that maybe they were real. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if they were like real bullets, because they didn't. But he was shooting at such close range. Wild of him to miss.
The wooden bullets are meant to, like, if you don't hit the heart, they slow you down.
They'll incapacitate.
Okay.
Cool.
And he gets Damon on the floor, and he gets on top of him, and he gets the stake. And the only thing that saves Damon is Stefan, like, calls out, like, Damon, where are you? And he's like, bye, and he gets back in his truck and drives away.
Drives away with the door on it.
Punches him in the face.
Yeah, Stefan goes up to Damon, like punches him while he's down. And Damon says, what's that for? And Stefan goes, you know.
Yeah. You know what.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For your fluids in my girlfriend's mouth.
For fluid bonding with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
But so Stefan is now unpacking this with Elena and says, when you're in hell, I'm in hell. Mm. And you went to Damon for help. And then I got really mad at Stefan, and Morgan backed it up so everyone could see the line that made me really mad at Stefan.
Yeah.
Because he was so like, my way is the only way for this to be like successful, not listening. Like he was right that she would prefer to use an animal, but he was like not processing like what I want is not working. And I'm so against the human idea because it was Damon's idea.
Yeah. He's less open to her changing her mind about her own options.
Yeah.
Right, because it would be changing her mind and to it's, Damon's opinion.
Stefan's been so good with having her choose for herself so far. But when it comes to this one thing, he's letting his own experience color it because he's an actual Ripper, not really realizing that most vampires aren't.
Right.
But also,
don't do woman jigsaws.
Yeah. Like, even if she was or wasn't, like, where he is in his journey, like, that took him hundreds of years to get to. Mm-hmm. And he had, like, the benefit of, like, actually drinking the human blood, whereas he is expecting her to meet him where he is, even though it's, like, day one of her.
I bet, I bet he's taking on Lexi's role. He's like, I had a Lexi.
But he's not as fucking good at it as Lexi was.
No, not by a long shot. It's very much maybe the first moment in their relationship of him being like, why doesn't my way younger girlfriend like know how to do her taxes? Yes. And it's like, I wonder.
Yeah. Wow.
Elena here, because all of her emotions are heightened from like what she felt as a human, she says she can't stop feeling grief.
She's feeling her grief and everyone around her's grief.
She's an empath.
And then we cut to the most cliche little, like,
actually something happens before the little memorial we'll get to, but Connor meets Matt and Jeremy at the bar. Right, he clocks that Matt has a patch over his neck. He's like, what happened there? He's like, I have a girlfriend, you know, overzealous. And then they're walking away and Jeremy's like, did you see that guy's tattoos?
Yes.
And Matt's like, the fuck are you talking about? So the guy has, Ella, you called it, tattoos, but only Jeremy can
magic
see them.
Tattoos. Yeah. Magic tattoos.
Well, so we don't know yet if they're, if it's because he's a ghost or if like any paranormal.
Or just the tattoos are ghosts.
It's like he got the tattoo done by a ghost.
If you get,
it's a magic tattoo for sure.
If you get laser removal, do you leave a tattoo ghost on your body that Jeremy can see?
So we get to the memorial.
Yeah, and I made a list of everyone that they said they were sad was dead.
Oh, thank you.
Including who was said more than once. No one was said by more than two people.
Okay.
Which I think is really interesting given how close these people purportedly all are. The person that opts out is Damon. Damon's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, he's like, I am not interested in this gay shit. I'm leaving.
Yeah, right.
This is cultural appropriation.
He's like, there's no bourbon here.
Yeah. It's like, and it's,
you were talking about our feelings.
It's like the Japanese, like,
paper lantern
thing where you light a candle. Mm. It's Zach gets one vote. Lexi, only one vote. Disagree.
Yeah. Ouch.
Alaric gets two. Vicky gets two. Caroline's dad gets one. Tyler's dad gets one. Each of Elena's parents gets two. Anna gets one. Jenna gets two. Grams gets one. And then Elena gets one that she gives herself.
Yeah. Gotta give it up to me.
Like, no, but Caroline's not like, I'm mourning my... It's just Elena being like, and I'm dead.
Yeah.
Well, Caroline got a funeral.
That's true.
That's true.
Elena
that's
hasn't true. Gotten a that's funeral true. Yet.
Yeah. So the it's song like her that was playing during this was entitled Ungodly Hour.
Amazing. Oh my God. Also earlier, Fear and Loathing by Marina and the Diamonds played while there was like a montage of a bunch of people making out. Which was really geared towards me 10 years ago.
Totally. At the time this was airing, it would have been.
Yeah.
The episode ends. Damon storms off from the memorial, and he goes and sits in the cemetery next to Alaric's.
And immediately I was like, we're going to pin down to Alaric's grave.
Yeah. He's drinking, getting drunk, talking to Alaric.
They're childish by trying to talk out their grief. They're some children.
Comments he makes are, we're not Japanese. And also, they're children.
Which
I'll remind everyone, he made out with one of these children like pretty recently.
He kind of sees himself in Alaric's role now, where he's like, now I'm the adult. Now that you're gone, he's like, now I'm stuck here taking care of the kids. He specifically
said, you left me with the kids. It was the most like, you should be dating another adult you enjoy spending time with, and I think this was it.
His boyfriend,
like, him and Elena don't know how to hang out.
They
only know how to be in the most dramatic yearning situation possible. And maybe that can change. But he knew how to hang with Alaric.
It is very like, I can't believe, like, mad at your spouse for dying and leaving you to deal with.
And before this scene, Bridget, you were like, man, I'm so glad we won't have to see Alaric's face for a long time. Except we pan and Alaric's ghost is right there.
Stupid face.
You manifested his face.
Unfortunately, I wish I could manifest something better.
Manifested. Thanks, everyone. But yeah, Alaric was like watching his little Damon eulogy and being like,
oh, buddy, I miss you too.
Yeah.
He, at the end, he says, I miss you too, buddy. And then I threw up blood all over the room.
And this has been the Vampire Journals. Episode 2, season 4.
Amazing.
Memorial. Mm-hmm. King fame, king shame?
I'm going to kink shame Stefan because I think he was being very selfish.
Yeah. This is not a good Stefan episode.
And I want to kink fame Tyler. For not only doing like a nice thing to help his friends, but also doing it in like a really dramatic way with the
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate 100%. An oratory moment.
I will kink fame Caroline for being the most measured in response to Elena's situation. She's like, we don't need to be one extreme or another. We can actually give Elena the tools to like work through this the way that she wants to. I'll kink shame Damon for, I feel like maybe not explaining exactly how significant Elena drinking his blood would be. Like he just said, he said it's a big deal to vampires. It means something, but he did not elaborate.
But the vibe was very like, just don't tell Stefan, it's fine.
Don't tell Stefan, it's fine. And I mean, it's like, you got to say like how big a deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were both mine. I'm going to kink fame Matt.
That was going to be mine if you didn't.
For like getting some closure on this like survival guilt thing in a way that actually like saved the entire group. It was a big Matt moment, and it was like a seemingly small gesture that was kind of, I think it was a lot bigger than it seemed.
And I also think like that's a really good point that he, a lot of these people, when they find closure for themselves, do it in a really destructive way.
Yeah.
And he did it in a really constructive way.
Yeah. But somehow it still had to involve Elena.
Yeah.
It always does. And I'm going to kink shame Connor Jordan. For having a kind of an Irishy name. But also, just bringing guns into the Vampire Diaries in such
a... It harshes the vibe.
He brought a gun to a steak fight, and I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
In just an oversaturated way as well. Yeah. Like, he didn't just have a gun or, you know... We didn't see Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
Right.
It just got used in the first act.
He pulled the gun out and used it before we knew he had it.
Yeah. I feel like in the movie Romeo plus Juliet, their guns have like big crosses on them. I feel like he could have at least have done that.
Yeah.
That made it a little camp.
That can't be how you say that movie, right? It's just Romeo and Juliet, right?
But there's a plus. Okay, yeah. But when Elle said Romeo plus Juliet, everyone was like, oh, I knew you mean Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, but we just, back in my day when I was a kid, we used to always just say Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Well, that's because you're a bit pretentious.
Yeah. God, that movie had some looks.
Yeah. I'm still like really thinking a lot about the guns in this episode. Yeah. And like, imagine the impact if the first time we'd seen someone get shot was when he pulled out the big machine gun in the church. Like, imagine what a more narrative.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't
What's Connor's deal?
Yeah.
We don't know exactly.
Did speculate that he might be a witch because they only make black people witches in this show. But
he's got a gun witch?
Witch gun. But the bullets aren't magic.
The edges are not magic.
They're not magic.
So he's not using magic.
Yeah, right?
He's using guns.
Forgot one moment of foreshadowing at the end of this episode. We see the letter.
Let me king fame, king shame.
Oh, sorry.
Hit it.
I'm going to reach real deep because took everyone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kink fame the mayor.
Sure.
Okay.
Just for in general being like a good mom this episode.
Good situational awareness.
Good situation. Yeah. Great situation.
She is
awareness.
Better at being a mayor and using her mayor skills than the sheriff is at using her sheriff skills.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And a much better parent to Tyler than his dad was, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna kink shame Pastor Young. And specifically I'm gonna reference that letter.
Okay.
So Connor Jordan the hunter finds the letter that Pastor Young left for April. So April hasn't seen this
in the oven.
In the oven. Great. And he reads it out, and it's kind of like vaguely ominous. Talks about like how more sacrifices are going to happen, something about their salvation.
Right, I'll see you again once we all reach salvation.
Sure, and also again. Like sorry for what I did to you or something. Which makes me think she might be like some sort of a magical weapon girl. Yeah.
Like a sleeper agent, a magic sleeper weapon.
So I'm just going to shame him for being a deadbeat dad.
Yeah, kind of creepy, kind of weird.
I mean, literally
a little bit
dead?
More than well, a deadbeat dad.
The vibes were very shipped her off to boarding school.
I think they said, you know, she's a new character because she's back from boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah, his last tuition payment didn't check. She's back now. Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah. Yeah, let's plug.
I own a small business, friends, as you may know. It's called Galaxy Brain Design. We have a bunch of new stuff. If Hannah was here, I would stunt. I would make Hannah yell about the fanny packs that we just got in, but we have...
If Hannah were to yell about the fanny packs, what would she say?
I don't know. Why do you want to be Hannah?
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you Hannah. The fanny packs. Okay.
We have a ton of new stuff. We have new posters, fanny packs. The fanny packs we have a space one, a ghost one, and a weed one. So something for everyone.
Oh, I love these. Okay. What I would say, and I've said this before, is like, I really love your color selection on the rainbow.
Thank you so much.
I feel like it's still bright without being as harsh on the eyes as a lot of other ones are. And the planets are a really cute addition. And of course, so are the ghosts. And the weed one are giving me kind of like mod 60s a little bit.
Thank you so much for saying so.
Yeah. And I like the color palette on the weed one especially. I think that's my favorite.
Appreciate you.
You know, in Europe, we call fanny packs bum bags.
Sure. Yeah, I actually hate that. Yeah. I don't like how that sounds at all.
Well, anyway, for the Irish among you, you can purchase a bum bag.
Well, fanny means vagina in Ireland, so that's a weird.
Yeah, I know it's vagina definitely. Bag.
I don't know. It sort of fits with my lesbian brand. And furthermore, I wear it a little closer to my Irish fanny than my American. Anyway, you can visit galaxybraindesign.com or find us on Instagram at galaxybraindesign to find my vagina satchel.
I'm going to end it there.
Thanks so much for listening to the Vampire Journals. To support us, you can subscribe, share, and visit our website, journalspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at journalspodcast. Goodbye.